All right, the final mark.
I was wondering what that picture is. It looks like he's sitting down.
He's kneeling.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
So he's praying.
So he's praying. So after many weeks, we're drawing near to an end here, and so we're going to talk about prayer. And I want to begin the conversation by listing some hindrances to prayer.
The false belief you're inadequate.
What was that?
The false belief that you're inadequate to pray.
Yeah, and you know what? We could probably think of other false beliefs that are hindrances to prayer. So if you think of one of those.
Lack of faith. Don't believe it's going to do anything. Children.
What? Children?
That's the second vote for children, by the way. The mothers were too embarrassed to say.
Could we say circumstances or time? We could say children. I have children. I understand that. What else? Anything else?
One of the false beliefs could just be that you don't think you need it.
Okay.
You're capable.
Yeah, that's true.
I think a hindrance too might be just that you feel like you need a half an hour set aside in absolute quiet in your quote war
sure.
Or whatever, where it can be all day. Just
yeah, there could be some expectations.
5 second prayers are just as good as a half an hour. I mean, maybe not. You'd probably need both, but
sure.
The idea that, well, I don't have a half an hour, so I'm not going to pray today.
Yeah. I think the way Matt Chandler says it is he says shotgun and rifle shot. You know, there's going to be times it's just like focused in prayer and you have your time and whatever. And there's going to be times it's just things are going on and we're praying without ceasing and we're just talking to the Lord.
I don't know if it's a hindrance, but for me sometimes I think of prayer as requests instead of praise.
Okay.
And so I feel like I'm not praying if I'm not asking for things, but praying can be praising God out loud all day. That, I mean, that's prayer.
Yeah. Good. Okay, good. That's a good.
We're studying this in our seminary class, and one of the things that he had In one of the books we were reading that he had brought up was, I've tried in the past and I keep falling asleep or I run out of stuff to say and I don't know how to identify that past experience or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've tried and not done very well and we don't tend to try again, we tend to I'll just not this time. Okay? Good, that's a good list. Good for us to think through that. I also want to brainstorm before we go any farther. And much of this will relate to what we've already said, because the Bible addresses many of these things, but just brainstorm on specific scriptures that deal with the topic of prayer. Just, you can think of a phrase. You don't have to have the address. You can think of a phrase or something that comes to mind that scripture says regarding prayer.
The Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Okay.
Josh, would you repeat those?
Yes. Okay. So we have the Lord's Prayer and the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Okay.
Steve.
The High Priestly Prayer.
The High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, John 17, right? Pray for those who will come to know them. Unity. A lot of great things there.
Say it out loud. She told me to say it out loud, so I said it out loud.
Nice. Say it out loud.
The persistent widow.
Okay. He told them a parable, right, so that they would pray and not lose heart.
Do not be anxious, but pray.
Yes, don't be anxious, but pray. Pray continually.
Fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Hey.
You don't have because you don't ask, and when you do ask, you ask with the wrong intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel's mother Hannah's prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of many. Ladies of the Old Testament. Sorry.
Jonah's prayer in the belly of a great fish.
Great prayer. Took him a little while. Some good circumstantial discipline of the Lord there. We could go on. We could go on and on. So, who here is completely satisfied with how your prayer life is all the time? How many? Okay, good. I'm just gonna have to call someone out or something. So, one of the privileges that Mark and I have of being in class is that we're required to read stuff, and sometimes it's stuff we wouldn't read otherwise, other times it's stuff we wouldn't read otherwise, and so this morning I want to teach you a method of prayer, and then we are going to practice it. So this will be intensely practical today in our final lesson, and then so I want to talk about it, and if people have questions, and then we're going to practice it. So we're going to take five, 7 minutes to actually do it, and then come back and talk about our experiences a little bit. So we just read the book this week, God's Providential Timing in that, and then we've arrived at the 10th mark, and I found it very helpful this week, just as I've been praying. I do want to say I think I'll say it now and come back to it. We have all these hindrances to prayer, so in some ways, that's why we don't pray. Another practical thing that we read this week was that we don't pray many times because we don't plan to. And so I will say, being in a prayer class where we actually have homework to actually spend time praying, which is a little weird, but what I found is I plan to do it. And it's going to be helpful having a semester of planning to do it, so that when the semester ends, I expect Mark and I are going to have better habits of prayer because we have spent 4 months planning to pray every day. And so I just want to throw that out there. Most of us have maybe not every day. Most of us have most days of the week where we have a significant amount of time driving in the car that if we plan to pray, we could pray. And there's other times too, but even as Tasha said, our lifestyles are such, and for those of us who have young kids, and I would say harder for the moms than the dads, because the dad might have a half-hour drive to work, and the mom never has the half-hour of quiet, unless she loses the half-hour of sleep. But all that to say, there are ways that we can plan to pray, and so I do want us to consider that. So we are going to talk through a method. And one of the phrases that we read over and over, and if anyone wants to borrow this book, the two covers are probably equal thickness to the actual book itself, and several pages at the end are references, so as far as short reads go, it's a very short read. So if anyone wants to borrow that, you can.
What was the name of it?
The book is called Praying the Bible, and one of the phrases he uses in there is praying the same old things about the same old things. And he says it zealously, the same phrase. You read it over and over. It's like, okay, I see what you're saying. Praying the same old things, the same old ways. So when you come to pray, are there times that you don't know what to pray? Or you pray everything you can think of for a little while and then look at the clock. It's been 3 minutes. Just prayed everything that was on my mind. Or maybe you have a long list and you could pray for a long time, but your prayers are always, like Tasha was saying, it always feels as, you know, I have my list of requests. And so we have, and granted, even in our church community, I mean, we have two memorials this week. We have people who've gotten surgery. We have people in the hospital. We have people who are sick. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot to pray for from a circumstantial perspective. And yet, I think that our prayers should be more than that, because any relationship should be more than one person asking the other person for whatever they feel like is important. So we are going to talk about praying the Bible. Now, to pray the Bible, this is a quote. To pray the Bible, you simply go through a passage, line by line, talking to God about whatever comes to mind as you read the text. Okay, so I want to... He gives the example, and I want to read just a few of the phrases so you can see what he's talking about, what we're talking about, and then also we're going to give a distinction because that might strike some of you as strange. Okay? Okay, so say we were going to pray through the 23rd Psalm. This is kind of how it would work. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. You read the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And you pray something like this. Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. You're a good shepherd. You have shepherded me all my life. And a great shepherd, and great shepherd, please shepherd my family today. Guard them from the ways of the world. Guide them into the ways of God. Lead them not into temptation. Deliver them from evil. O great shepherd, I pray for my children. Cause them to be your sheep. May they love you as their shepherd as I do. Lord, and shepherd me in the decision that's before me about my future. Do I make that move or that change or not? I also pray for the under-shepherds of our church. Please shepherd them as they shepherd us. And you continue praying. Anything else that comes to mind as you consider the words, the Lord is my shepherd. Then nothing else comes to mind. You go to the next line. I shall not want. Perhaps you pray, Lord, I thank you that I've never really been in want. I haven't missed too many meals. All that I am and all that I have has come from you. But I know that it pleases you to bring my desires to you. So would you provide finances that we need for those bills, for school, that car? Maybe you know someone else who's in want, and so you pray for God's provision for him or her. You maybe remember the persecuted brothers and sisters around the world and pray for them. After you finish, you look at the next verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Frankly, you read the words lie down. Maybe what comes to mind is, simply, Lord, I would be grateful if you'd make it possible for me to lay down and take a nap today. Now, I need to draw a distinction here because is this text, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes me lie down in green pastures, is that talking about naps? No, I don't think so, right? It's talking about the shepherding care of our good shepherd. So, there is a difference, and I want to make this clear, there's a difference between reading and studying your Bible and praying the Bible as advocated in our time this morning and in this book. So the goal of this method of prayer is to pray. And we're going to let God's word start the conversation. And sometimes what comes into our mind is not what the text is talking about. And so we need to draw a difference between interpreting the Bible and just simply, as we're doing here, praying the Bible. Because I'm not going to say that that passage is about taking naps and advocate naps and everyone should have naps. And that would be a sin for me to preach that way and teach people that that's what that's saying. However, when we're praying, what does the Bible say about praying? What's off limits for praying? Well, pray, we said it, pray about everything, right? Pray continually. And so if you are praying, if you're reading a passage of scripture in this way and you're praying what comes to mind, and something comes to mind that doesn't have anything to do with the scripture, is that off limits? Like you can't pray about that? No. You can pray about that and then come back to the scripture and move on. And so the way it initially struck me is like, whoa, this is not okay. Like, we're not, you know, like, are we not using the intent of Scripture here? And the point is, we're going to primarily focus on praying in this method. When we study the Bible, our primary focus is to understand, to exegete the text, to pull out what the text, to see what the text is about, to study, you know, what the author meant and what the context is, and to see what is God saying through this text. And that is our primary purpose. And prayer kind of moves to a secondary purpose. We're praying as we're reading, God, help me to understand, and I want to do this, I want to understand your word. And so the study of God's word is more primary and prayer is more secondary. Well, here, just communicating with God, talking to God is more primary. And the actual study of the text is secondary. And so if you come to a passage of text that it doesn't really, nothing really comes to mind, you can just keep going. You go to the next verse and you can pray there. But what it does is it helps guide our wandering hearts and our wandering minds. And it gives us a starting place. And if we spent all our time praying what the Bible says, rather than just what comes into our fickle minds, it's not like we're going to be less biblical in our praying because we prayed about. So, for example, one of the chapters we'll look at is Psalm 20, and Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, right, but I trust in the Lord our God. Well, if you read that and God brings to your mind some friend that has a horse that's dying, or you have a horse that's dying and you want to pray, there's nothing wrong with praying that. So you pray that and then you move on to the next part that says, but as for me, I trust in the Lord my God. And you come back to what the scripture says about that. Or in Psalm 50, verse 5, it says, talks about God making a covenant with people, his people. So God who made a covenant, and you read that and you think covenant, and what jumps to your mind is the covenant of marriage that you've entered in. You pray for your spouse. That's not what the text is about. And so I'm saying that, I'm recognizing that, but in your praying, if that comes to mind, you can pray for that, and then you can move on. And so, I want to be careful here because, like I said, my first reaction was to be like, I don't know, is this actually okay? And God tells us that we can talk to him about anything. And so, it's as if God is, we're going to read his word and what comes to mind, we're going to pray it. And we're going to go on tangents of prayer even. But then we're going to come back to the next phrase in that scripture. And it's going to draw us back to God's word. And draw us back to God's word. And so this week even, I've just found it helpful at times. You know, what am I going to pray about? And maybe the prayer list seems so looming. Or, you know, I feel like I've just been praying the prayer list, or, you know, I've taken time to adore God and focus on his attributes, and so it's like I can come back to one of the psalms that we memorized in our childhood, and I can just start phrase by phrase thinking through that and praying, and it's a very guiding way to pray, and it makes your prayers different. And that's kind of the point, is even if you're talking about the Lord is my shepherd, and then you start praying about your own shepherding of your own children, you're going to pray about shepherding your children in a different way than you have before, because you're going to be using the language of the psalm in front of you.
So,
does anyone have any questions? Yeah.
So is this like a part of your daily Bible reading, or do you pick specific things to pray through the Bible with?
We will address that a little bit more at the end. So he advocates generally the Psalms, because the Psalms are already communication back to God. They're written as songs. So it's already kind of already to be spoken back to God. And so, I can just tell you a simple way, a mathematical way would be. And so what we're going to do in our time is I've printed off Psalm 20, Psalm 50, Psalm 80, Psalm 110, and Psalm 140. So for each day of the month, there will be five. I mean, I think what there is it 100. Is it exactly 150 or is it 151? So there's 150 psalms. So each day of the month would have five corresponding psalms. And so one method, again, we're not setting legal boundaries here, but one method would be to look at the five psalms related to the day of the month that you're in. So the way you would do that would just be to add 30 until you run out of psalms. So on the first, you'd have the first psalm, and the 31st psalm, and the 61st psalm, and the 91st psalm, and the 121st psalm. And you just briefly, very briefly, skim across and until one strikes you more than the others. And with five, oftentimes there's going to be something that kind of stands out to you because the psalms are so varied in their breadth. And so today, I have printed for us Psalm 20, 50, 80, 110, and 140, and so that would match up with the five. And then he says if you're on the 31st day of the month, you can do Psalm 119, because you've got a lot of volume there. And so this method would allow you to pray through any part of Scripture. And so there's several John Piper quotes in here. It's like, read a verse and then pray about it. And then read another verse and pray about it. So that would fit anywhere. If you're in a narrative, like, you know, you're reading the Gospel of John, you might read, you know, this section about Jesus doing this specific thing and kind of pray about that generally. So it's not going to go phrase by phrase. But the Psalms are helpful because it's kind of like phrase, phrase equaling one sentence, phrase, phrase equaling one sentence. So it's easier to kind of pray through phrase by phrase in the Psalms because of the way they're written, meter, you know, with cadence. So,
just the idea of having five psalms to choose from, in case anybody's wondering why it's such a complicated thing, if you just do the first five psalms on the first day, and the second five, you know, group of five psalms on the second day, you end up with psalms that are related to one another. And so when you get to the imprecatory psalms, where you're calling down curses on your enemies, that's a hard psalm to pray. So doing it this way actually forces you to be in all the different sections of the psalms. It gives you variety.
Yeah. Right, and this is, you know, this is just one of, you know, options. This was just a simple mathematical way that that he advocated for that reason, that you could kind of see the breadth of the psalms and kind of go from there. Okay, so we have 15 minutes, so I'm going to hand these papers out, and you will have, there are five psalms, I'll go back, there's five psalms on here, so do a quick scan of it, and then pick one, and then you're going to spend 7 minutes praying. If you need to, it would be better if you were able to pray out loud, or at least kind of with your mouth vocalized. So it might be better if we break up and spread out a little bit. Some of you are unwilling to do that, and that's okay. But at least have a little bit so we're praying individually here. Did you get what you? Okay. And so, any questions about the method? We're gonna read a line and pray what comes to mind, and go as long, pray as long as you know. If we were doing "The Lord is My Shepherd" and you had 7 minutes of praying on "The Lord is My Shepherd," that'd be fine. If you read a verse and nothing comes to mind, you can go to the next verse. If you read a verse and you don't understand it, you can put a star there to come study it later and just go on to the next verse and pray what's there. Okay? So I'm going to set 7 minutes and we're going to have 7 minutes of quiet. And if you make noise, it's okay. We don't have to be perfectly silent. interrupt. But we're going to bring it back.
This gives a whole new perspective on a way to help teach my children to pray. I hadn't thought of that before I just did it for sure.
All right, what are people's reaction, impression, thoughts?
Can we talk about that next week and go back to what we were just doing?
That's a good idea, but you can take that home. That was available to you. So what do you think? So do you like it? Is that what you're saying?
I have a tendency to tangent just when I'm talking. If you've ever listened to myself and any of my sisters talking, you know that. We rarely finish a thought before we're on to the next five. And so having that to just come back and focus while still allowing myself to wrap.
We're just about done. Feel free to.
Was helpful.
Good. Yeah. We all find that true. Other comments? Has anyone ever done this before? Was it not new for anyone?
It keeps it going. So on the one side, it keeps you organized because there's this kind of thing built in. You want to kind of get to the next one. It keeps you going that way. But you could pray everything in your mind, like you said, in the first couple of minutes and think, oh, I don't have anything else to say except, oh, yeah, I have another verse. So then you hit the next verse, and it restarts everything. And to stuff that you never would have thought of before. Maybe a word just springs out.
Yeah, I know. I read Protect, and I remembered I had a dream last night. A very vivid, very scary dream where I felt totally vulnerable. And it's like, thank you, Lord, that you are protector. Nothing comes to me except what comes through your hands. And it was just, it was cool. I don't know if I would have even ever remembered that I even had that dream last night. Any other comments, thoughts on this initial exercise? Was it easy to pray for 7 minutes? Easier than usual?
Body.
What?
It went faster than it normally does.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all of our experience, that we pray. And honestly, you know, Mark and I have this chunk of time that we're required to pray for class. And so it's like, what am I going to do for this huge chunk of time every day? And it's really helpful. And I mean, and when the scripture says to meditate on the script, in a sense, that's what you're doing. And it's not always going to go, exactly like the scripture goes, but you are thinking about scripture for that the whole time. Are there any other final comments? We have 2 minutes. 1 minute.
I looked at Psalms 140, and I've been thinking today's Sanctity of Life Sunday, and Psalm 140 was basically thwarting the plans of the enemy. And I don't know how to pray very well about that. And yet, verse by verse, it took pieces of that issue and helped me to formulate phrases and prayers along that issue that was concerning me today.
Yeah, neat. Yeah, just a quick show of hands. Who did the first? Who did Psalm 20? Who did Psalm 50? You want to do Psalm 50? Okay. How about Psalm 80? Okay, a couple people. Psalm 110. Okay, a few more, and Psalm 140. So that's cool because, and of course, some of you might have done more than. Did anyone make it through more than one? Okay, so you know, in the room, each one of those different psalms had something to kind of speak to, whatever your situation is today, which is kind of a cool way to do that. So, Anyway, we're going to wrap up, and I hope this is useful. I hope this is practical for you all. But I want to repeat, we usually don't pray because we don't plan to. So I would just encourage you to think about intentional ways that you could plan to. And of course, this method is for when you have at least a few minutes. And so it doesn't speak to praying without ceasing and the other multitudinous aspects of prayer that we could talk about. So it's one very small thing, but I think a helpful one helpful one for all of us. So with that, let's pray. Thank the Lord for our time. God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to, Lord, just to, first of all, to have your word. To have your word in our language. Lord, what a rich blessing that is. And you have communicated your love to us through your word. And we have the opportunity to read it. And Lord, as we've talked about this morning, the opportunity to pray through it. And let that guide our prayers. And so we are grateful for your word. Let us be people who delight in your word, who meditate on it day and night, that we might continue to be transformed as we see you in your glory through your word. We love you and praise you, and just thank you again for this time that we've had. Amen. So there's nothing on the docket as of now, right, Mark?
That's correct.
So next week, we can all join in other class and be in there. And if someone comes up with something or we come up with something pressing that we want to teach, we will make announcements and whatnot so everyone can be informed. So thank you all for being here for the last, 11 weeks.